There are so many ways that we are massaged into believing that alcohol is a natural product that's been around since the birth of humanity. And indeed, for the past 10,000 years, for many civilizations, alcohol has been a source of hydration and nourishment. And alcohol acts as a lubricant at almost every social function you care to mention, except for those communities whose religion restricts its consumption. And we believe we need it to loosen up or to get the party started. Otherwise, we wouldn't be offering the champagne or pouring the wine or cracking open the beer. However, before we get too excited, the Cancer Society would like to remind us that alcohol is a Group 1 carcinogenic, like benzene, formaldehyde and asbestos. And even if it's consumed in small amounts, it increases the risk of several types of cancer. Well, Cancer Society co-medical director, oncologist Dr. George Lakings with us. Kia ora, good evening, George.
Oh, kia ora, Karen.
We'll get the wowsers out of the way first. This is an education campaign from the Cancer Society. We obviously need educating.
Yeah, that's what we found. We interviewed 800 people to get an idea of people's understanding of the proven link between alcohol and cancer. And we found the understanding was pretty patchy.
What research has been done to support it?
Very large amounts of research establishes that alcohol is a cause of cancer. That's well understood scientifically. By the study of literally hundreds of thousands of people, very large populations, and tracking the appearance of cancer alongside the drinking patterns of those populations, that's how we know.
Well, we do know about tobacco. Everyone's aware of that, I hope. But is the alcohol lobby so strong, George, that they've blinded us to the dangers of alcohol?
I suspect the alcohol lobby has succeeded to the point where it hardly even has to do its own work anymore, because it's become ingrained in New Zealand culture. Even if there wasn't an alcohol lobby, it's kind of got its own momentum in New Zealand culture. All those appealing things that you mentioned about drinking, those are sort of part of the fabric of society, but comes at a huge cost that as a society we've been oblivious to. And I think if the industry's got a role, it's quite clever at keeping people generally oblivious and deflecting attention in a different path when these sort of links are raised.
Well, as an oncologist, which you are, what parts of the body do you see the effects of alcohol on?
Well, the parts of the body that alcohol reaches, and it's every single part of the body. Alcohol goes everywhere. The most immediately affected are the drinking parts of the body, the throat, stomach, digestion, liver. The part that's probably actually the largest one is breast cancer in women, which was kind of unexpected. And that, as far as we can tell, seems to be due to the effect of alcohol on energy metabolism. It activates hormones to store all the energy, you know, that you get from drinking alcohol, and those hormones independently set off cancer.
Geez, so you say the more booze, the more cancer. That needs to be understood in the same way people understand that too much sunlight. But does that mean we all have to sit in the shade for our whole life?
Well, it's that whole thing about finding a balance, isn't it? But to find a balance, it helps to have an understanding of the current situation. So, for example, in the USA, they estimate that 3.5% of all cancer is due to alcohol. And there's no reason to think that that situation should be any different in this country. Perhaps surprisingly, you know, we know alcohol can kill people. Well, the main way that alcohol kills people is via cancer. In Europe, they found 29% of alcohol-associated deaths could be attributed to cancer.
And you talked about, you know, the throat, the stomach, the liver, breast cancer. So when alcohol's hitting your throat, is it the amount of alcohol, like a continual supply of alcohol, you know, through your adult life that is doing that? What is it?
So there's a dose response effect, and sure, the more that people take over time, it all adds to the risk. Every drink is a roll of the dice, in a sense, in terms of adding extra risk of cancer eventually coming along. I think people often think, it won't be me. Surely my drinking habits cannot be that excessive, but again, because actually most people just drink about the same as everyone else, the cancer risk is very present, even for average people who drink an average amount.
So is it like inflammation, aggravation of the in the body, inside the body?
Yeah. So there's probably two main ways to think about it, and certainly the direct effect of alcohol the chemical irritant effect of alcohol in cells, and that would seem to explain throat cancer, for example, especially associated with spirits, for example. But then there's this other way that alcohol insidiously leads to cancer, which, as I was saying, is by increasing hormonal activity. And then those cancers, in turn, those are set off by raised levels of the hormones that are responding to the alcohol in the body.
And does the risk increase with age?
All cancer risk increases with age. For a while I felt if we lived to be 200 years old, everyone would get cancer. So certainly the risk increases with age. You know, but the good thing about this risk is it can be reduced by reducing alcohol consumption. And if you're half your consumption, you're half your risk, near enough. And so I think at the Cancer Society, we'd really encourage people to think about ways of reducing consumption. And to be honest, we think it relates most strongly to access and availability to alcohol is the strongest predictor of how much people will drink.
And there is great access and availability, and we're talking about cost tonight, cost of living. It's relatively cheap, isn't it?
Well, it remains extraordinarily cheap for what it is and what it does, that's for sure.
Do you drink?
Thanks for asking about that. I did, and I enjoyed it. Well, I've got a mixture of memories from drinking. At least I've got memories. Some good, some not so good. Actually, as it happens, on Boxing Day, I was feeling kind of ropey for some reason. So I held off that day, and I haven't actually picked it up again since then.
You'd be happy about that, from your roles in life and what you've seen. You wouldn't want to go back to it, would you?
I wasn't really expecting to leave it, to be honest, and it was kind of a surprise. I have been happy how it's worked out. I can tell you, I've developed quite an appreciation for water. I think, in fact, the alcohol culture we have has pinched a lot of the value of water when you're thirsty. I go out cycling, and I sure learn to appreciate water in that situation.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much for starting the conversation, and it's a conversation we need to have as a society, so we very much appreciate it.
Thanks ever so much.
That's Dr. George Lakin, Cancer Society co-medical director, also an oncologist.